This is the Hasidic Story Project with Barak Holman, podcasting from Jerusalem, Israel. This podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you. To become a supporter of this podcast, please go to HasidicStory.com. HASIDIC Story.com.
You'll never know. You'll never know. Shalom Aleichem, my sweetest friends. Another week of Hasidic stories, Be'ezrat Hashem. But before we begin, I want to dedicate this episode, God willing, to the continued success of our soldiers in battle wherever they are, returning of all the hostages, safe, whole, and healthy, the refuah shlema, the full recovery of everyone who's been injured, the comforting of the families of those that lost loved ones, and the continued unity of the Jewish people in Israel and all around the world. So this week I have two stories for you. This is a story about Rabbi Asher Zev Werner, who was the rabbi of Tveria from the years 1934 to 1958. He was born in Jerusalem in 1884, and even when he was a young child, it was clear that he was a special Torah genius, a prodigy, and over time, his righteousness in his Torah learning became famous. After the First World War, he was hired by the Jewish community in Providence, Rhode Island, in the United States to serve as their rabbi. Rabbi Werner accepted the position and moved to America.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
But in 1933, Rabbi Moshe Klaris, who was a well-known rabbi of Tveria, Tiberias, had become sick, and he asked specifically that Rabbi Werner return back to the land of Israel, to Tveria, and take over the position of the head of the Or Torah Yeshiva in Tiberias. And after receiving the message from Rabbi Klaris, Rabbi Werner told the community in Providence that he would be leaving to return back to the Holy Land to accept the position as the chief rabbi instead of Rabbi Moshe Klaris. Now, the Or Torah Yeshiva was located on the top of a hill next to the grave of the great tzaddik, Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes. And there were people that would come to the grave of Rabbi Meir Baal HaNes day and night and sit on the benches, learning and davening. And the yeshiva that was run by Rabbi Werner was barely able to support him. Back when he was in America, he was making a nice salary. But here in the land of Israel, in 1934, there was very little money. And not only was there no money for the rabbi, there was very little money for the talmidim, for the students that were sitting and learning all day, and the staff that ran the yeshiva. And once a month, the young men that would sit and learn would receive their monthly stipend. But that particular year, the rabbi wanted to pay them, and there was no money left in the yeshiva account at all. It was completely empty. And the rabbi made his rounds to all the wealthy people that he knew, but they didn't have any money to give him. And he tried to take out a loan from the bank, but they weren't willing to lend him any more money. They'd already lent him money in the past. He went to gemachim, he went to free loan societies, he went everywhere. Nobody was willing to give him the money that he needed to pay the students. And so he found himself sitting in the main room in the Or Torah Yeshiva with his head on his hands, feeling totally distressed and saying to Hashem, Ma'ayin nivo azri, Hashem, where is my help going to come from? And the truth is, he wasn't eating very much because there was very little money to buy food. And he was tired and he was stressed. Without realizing it, he fell asleep. And immediately, Rabbi Werner sees himself in his room in the yeshiva. But sitting in his chair, in his office, was none other than Rabbi Moshe Klaris, who had been the Rosh Yeshiva that had passed away several years before. And his face was shining with a beautiful warm light. And Rabbi Moshe says to Rabbi Werner, No, how's the yeshiva? How are things going? And Rabbi Werner, he says, I'm really sorry to say, but the situation is very bad. I barely have money to buy food, and I certainly don't have any money to pay the students that are sitting and learning all day. These precious, young, innocent, honest souls will not receive their monthly stipend that they use to support their families. And Rabbi Moshe, I don't know what to do. So Rabbi Moshe, he listened, and he was smiling, and his face was shining, just like it was before. And he says, Dear Rabbi Asher, would you please make me a cup of coffee? And Rabbi Werner, he ran into the kitchen, he took a large glass mug, put in the instant coffee and sugar, boiled some water, mixed it, added some milk, and runs back to the office to serve his rabbi. And Rabbi Moshe picks up the mug and he says, "You call this coffee? You call this kaveh?" Instead of coffee, he called it kaveh. And Rabbi Werner, he was distressed and he said, "Don't worry, Rabbi Moshe, I'll make you another cup of coffee." And he ran back to the kitchen and he poured out the first cup of coffee. And then he made another cup just like before, putting the coffee, the sugar, the water, the milk, stirring it, coming back. And when he returned to the room and hands it to Rabbi Moshe, he looks at him again and he says, "Do you think somebody would actually call this kaveh?" Called it kaveh instead of coffee, like the first and second time. So Rabbi Werner, he went to make a third cup of coffee. And he was so careful again with the coffee and the sugar and the water and the milk and stirring. And when he runs back to the room, he sees that Rabbi Moshe Klaris is gone. And he wakes up from the dream and he thinks, "What did my teacher and my rabbi want from me? Why did he ask me to make this coffee? And why was he calling it kaveh instead of coffee? And why wasn't my coffee for him good enough the first time or the second time?" Then he had this thought. Maybe instead of preparing coffee, he really did want me to prepare kaveh. Because every day in the morning, at the end of davening, we say, "Kaveh el Hashem, chazak v'yemetz libecha, v'kaveh el Hashem." Kaveh meaning hope in Hashem. Be strong and let your heart be valiant. And once again it says, "Kaveh el Hashem." Have faith, have hope in Hashem. So now Rabbi Werner understood the message that Rabbi Klaris was telling him. Hope in God, be strong, and take courage in your heart, and rely on Hashem. By saying kaveh, Rabbi Moshe was giving Rabbi Werner the message to have absolute faith and trust in the creator of the world. And what my teacher, my holy rabbi, was telling me, Rabbi Werner said, was that my confidence and my faith in Hashem were lacking. He was saying to me, "You call this kaveh? You call this faith in Hashem?" And so Rabbi Werner, he took the message to heart. He tossed off all of his worries and he went back home. And he went with his young daughter and he said to her, "Come with me, let's go into town and we're going to get the money for the students for the yeshiva." And the rabbi and his daughter only walked for a few minutes before they heard a voice behind them. "Kvod Rav, honorable rabbi." And Rabbi Werner turns around and he sees a man that he'd never seen before. And he said, "Rabbi, are you in any need of money to maintain the yeshiva?" And the rabbi said, "Yes, actually I am." Said, "Rabbi, tell me how much money you need, and I'll be happy to loan it to you, interest-free." And Rabbi Werner, he wasn't surprised. He knew that if Hashem gave him this dream, that something was going to happen. And he said to the man, "How much money do you have?" And the man had a huge amount of money, much more than enough to pay for the scholarships for 1 month. And he explained that the British were going to replace the Israeli pound with the Israeli lira. And you could only exchange bills and not coins. And this man was a businessman that had many coins that needed to be exchanged. And he said, "If I don't do something with this money, it's going to be worthless in a few days. But if I give you the money, Rabbi, and your students spend it within the next week, then not only will you be saving me a lot of money, but I'll be helping you." And so they made an agreement. The rabbi took all of the coins. And of course, a percentage of it was simply tzedakah and not a loan. And over time, the rabbi was able to pay back the loan with the new coins. And so since this man knew that his money was going to be worthless, he was walking around the streets looking for somebody that he could help with his money. And Hashem had arranged it so that Rabbi Werner would meet him in the right place in the right time. And that was because, like his rabbi of blessed memory had taught him, he needed to not make one cup of coffee or two cups of coffee, but he needed to make a third cup. And that cup shouldn't be coffee, but it should be kaveh. Kaveh el Hashem, trust in Hashem. And by preparing your trust in Hashem, you open the conduit for Hashem to send you bounty and blessings and revealed good into this world, just like Rabbi Werner did all those years ago. I have one more story for you. I don't normally like to tell stories about the Holocaust, but since it was Yom HaShoah the other day, I figured, okay, I'll share a story about the Holocaust. And I'll just share with you why I don't like sharing stories about the Holocaust. Besides it being sad and depressing, I grew up in South Florida with the largest post-war Holocaust survivor population, probably outside of Borough Park. And I had a lot of Holocaust guilt thrown on me. And so I kind of avoid the Holocaust. Feel like I had enough of it growing up. But if I can find an optimistic story about the Holocaust, then I'm happy to tell it, especially if it's a type of Hasidic story. So this is a story about a Reb Shimon, who I'm not sure if he's still alive, but apparently he lived or lives in the holy city of Jerusalem. When he was a young man, he was living in Lublin, in Poland, and one of his teachers was Rabbi Meir Shapiro Zatzal of blessed memory, who was a prominent Polish Hasidic rabbi in Rosh Hashiva, known as the Lubliner Rav. And he's known for starting the Daf Yomi, the daily learning of the Talmud, and the Rosh Hashiva of the Chochmei Lublin Yeshiva. So once Rabbi Meir Shapiro came to Reb Shimon's cheder, to his religious elementary school, to test the students there. And generally, after testing the students, Rabbi Meir Shapiro would give out gifts or sweets to the children. But this time, Rabbi Shapiro didn't have anything. And so he turned to the boys and he said to them, "Instead of giving you a gift or a piece of candy, I'm going to give you a wonderful segula." A segula is a spiritual enabler. It's something that helps you to achieve a higher spiritual level. And Rabbi Shapiro said to them, "If you listen to me and follow what I say, you will always be successful and have a peaceful life." And he told them about the wonders that happen to people who say Birkat HaMazon, the blessing after eating bread, with the proper intention. He quoted the Bach, who says, "Whoever says Birkat HaMazon with intention, no evil or destruction will ever happen to them." And he quoted the Chinuch, who said, "Whoever is careful with Birkat HaMazon will always have an honorable livelihood their entire lives." And he also quoted the Be'er Heitav, who says, "Those that are careful by saying Birkat HaMazon from a siddur and not by heart, they will always be saved." And Rabbi Shapiro said, "This is my gift to you boys." And this Reb Shimon took the lesson to heart, decided right then and there he was going to be very careful about saying Birkat HaMazon. And he kept this decision throughout his entire life. In cheder, his friends would bench quickly so they could go out and play, but he stayed behind, benching properly. And it wasn't easy, but he knew that Rabbi Meir Shapiro had given him a gift, and he wasn't going to waste it. And a few years later, the Nazis invaded Poland. And this Reb Shimon was standing in line for a selectia. Whoever was short was being sent to the left, and there they would die. And Reb Shimon prayed that in the merit of his Birkat HaMazon, he would be saved from any evil or destruction. And when it was his turn, he stood up on his toes to appear taller, and the Nazi signaled for him to go to the right, and his life was saved, he said, in the merit of Birkat HaMazon. Soon afterwards, Reb Shimon found himself in line again. This time, each person had to tell the Nazi in charge what they did for a living. But Shimon was just a young boy, was a teenager, and only learned in yeshiva his whole life. As he's waiting in line, he's davening and saying, "Hashem, in the merit of my saying Birkat HaMazon, please Hashem, support me, give me livelihood, even in this horrible place." And then the person behind him in line taps him on the shoulder and he said, "Tell the Nazi that you're a cook and I'm your helper." And he said this, and they were both sent to work in the kitchen. Just like the Chinuch had promised, they would have enough food to eat. And Reb Shimon said it was in the merit of his Birkat HaMazon. And in the camps, he continued to be very careful by reciting Birkat HaMazon. Unfortunately, he didn't have a sitter, but he imagined holding one when he would say it. And if he understood that he didn't have enough time to say Birkat HaMazon properly, he wouldn't even eat bread to start with. Once there was a Nazi that saw Shimon working in the kitchen, and he thought that this Jew had it too good, being surrounded by food. And the Nazi says to this young man, "What are you doing here?" And Shimon answers him, "I work here, I'm a cook." But the Nazi didn't like it. He took Shimon outside and showed him an area filled with stones and heavy rocks outside the kitchen. And he said, "You have 2 hours to dig a 2-meter ditch here. If you don't finish it, I'll bury you in it." And he gave him a little tiny shovel and then laughed as he walked away. At that time, the Nazis were building trenches to hide in case the Russians would attack them. But this task that the Nazi gave Shimon was nearly impossible. The ground was covered in heavy stones, and he only had 2 hours to dig a 2-meter ditch, and all he had was this little tiny shovel to work with. Reb Shimon, he raises his hands to the heavens, and he says, "Ribono shel Olam, Master of the Universe, I have been saying Birkat HaMazon with intention, with kavana, and this is a segula to save me from evil and destruction. You saved me before Hashem. Please save me again in the merit of my saying Birkat HaMazon. And a few minutes later, a German Jeep drove by, filled with Nazis, and they see this young man trying to dig a ditch with a small shovel. And they started laughing at him. And throwing tomatoes and potatoes and carrots and onions at him. They said, "You stupid Jew, you'll never finish that task in time." And then they drove away. But here, Reb Shimon is saying to himself, "Look at that. In the merit of saying Birkat HaMazon, I have once again received a blessing of abundance. All of this food, I'm now surrounded by food." He said, "But Hashem, now I really need to be protected from evil and destruction as well." And a short while later, there was a jeep of Russian prisoners of war that showed up. And when they saw the vegetables surrounding Shimon, they stopped and they said, "What is all this food?" Because they were being starved by the Nazis and they were very hungry. And Shimon says with an authoritative voice, "When I see a pit of 2 meters dug here, I'll give you all the vegetables." The Russians were working, and in their jeep, they had the right tools for digging. They jumped out of the jeep and began digging the trench. There was a whole group of them, so within half an hour, they were done, and Shimon gave them all the vegetables, and they drove away. An hour later, the Nazi returns, ready to finish off Shimon, but he was shocked to see a 2-meter pit that Shimon was standing in. And he said to Shimon, "I always knew that God takes care of the Jewish people, but I never imagined it would be to this extent." And so once again, Reb Shimon was saved in the merit of Birkat HaMazon. And when he came to Israel, to the land of Israel, after the war was over, he continued to receive many blessings of abundance. He always had a job or a business. He was able to marry off all of his children, never having to go into debt. And whenever somebody asked him, how did he merit such incredible blessings? He said, "When I was a boy, I got an incredible gift from Rabbi Meir Shapiro of blessed memory. In the merit of saying Birkat HaMazon with intention, Hashem has sent me all of these blessings." Thank you so much for listening, my sweetest friends. As always, I want to thank all the supporters, everyone who sends in contributions, and everyone who writes to me. Thank you so much for your contributions and for being listeners and for sharing this podcast. And Be'ezrat Hashem, I'm going to be working on a new project a weekly podcast where I analyze the news of the week here in Israel with former member of Knesset, Dov Lipman. The podcast is going to be called Israel Unscripted. And once it's up, I'll announce it again and I'll link to it. The idea is to give the English-speaking audience an Israeli version of what's happening and to help bring some sanity to the world, Be'ezrat Hashem. So stay tuned for that, my friends. And until next week, take care of yourselves. Sei gesund.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light?
Ha 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 ha